Up With the Birds by Offlights, read by Night Tracer. Fandom Hockey RPF, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pairing Sid Gino. Damn it, Sidney says. He hears Gino staring in the bed behind him and winces, turning away from clicking through emails to watch Gino blink and shift under the sheets. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you.
Not sleeping, Gino says sleepily,
shifting onto his back from where he'd been curled around Sidney's pillow. He stretches, rolling his shoulders, and letting the sheets slide down to reveal his naked hip. Sidney's eyes are tracing the movement before he can even go through the usual process, operating himself for it, and then reminding himself that he's allowed to do that now, since he and Gino started hooking up. The smooth, pale skin that the sheet uncovers is an enticing enough image that Sidney has to think for a minute when Gino asks him,
"Something wrong?"
He arranges the sheets a little, lounging back onto his own pillow with his arms folded behind his neck, and Sidney shakes his head a little dumbly before remembering that, yes, actually, there is something wrong. Something that Gino's nakedness cannot fix. So something dire, pretty much. It looks like that auction idea Julie threatened us with last season is actually happening, Sidney says dourly, turning back to the email and frowning deeply at it, wishing that that could make it disappear. Apparently, no one listened to my argument that this is basically legalized prostitution.
What?
Gino says thickly, yawning so hard his jaw cracks. Sidney looks back at him, again disconcertingly distracted by the sleepy, warm picture he makes. Spread out in Sidney's bed, like he was born to be there. Gino's eyes are molten and easy, heavy-lidded, and though Sidney's rational mind telling him that Gino's probably just finally crashing after a long day of skating and conditioning, the rest of him is feeling pretty smug over wearing Gino out so thoroughly. He'd been kind of afraid. His summer spent apart from Gino might have made him rusty at this whole sex thing, but apparently not, if the force of their mutual orgasms had been any indication. Penn's PR want to pimp us out for charity, Sidney says, when he can finally focus on Gino's blank look. Gino still looks sweetly confused. And Sidney doesn't know if it's the sex, the sleepiness, the English, or some combination of all three, but he doesn't mind nearly as much as he should. I really don't want to be sold off to rich cougars or puck bunnies, Gino.
Cougars?
Gino asks, now looking alarmed. And Sidney sighs a bit and twists back toward his laptop, biting down on a stupid smile. It's a stupid slang thing. It means older women who like younger men. Gino chuckles, the bedspring squeaking as he shifts again.
Cougars eat Sid for breakfast.
Exactly, Sidney says, because Gino may not realize it, but he's nailed Sidney's point. Whether he's talking about actual mountain lions, or older women, or both. This is going to be terrible.
Have to do it, Gino asks.
And Sidney sighs again, clicking through more emails.
Looks like it.
He's already gotten several different emails about it, not just from PR. There's a cheerful memo from Mario's office encouraging the team to get excited about this. The personalised postscript to Sidney that reads, "Suck it up and don't be a brat, Sid."
Too bad, Gino says.
He sounds like he's dozing off again, and Sidney really should discourage that. They don't really do that too often, sleeping together. Sidney likes his space, and Gino is something of a cuddler, wrapping himself around the nearest object or person like a boa constrictor. So they're really not compatible like that. Also, Sidney's not an expert on this, but he thinks that there are certain rules to this whole hooking up thing, and spooning, or whatever, probably breaks one or more. Keeping this casual keeps the pressure off, which is something that Gino had agreed was super critical in not making this thing explode in their, and their team's, faces. So yeah, he should start kicking Gino out now. Sidney's already at least a little dressed, hunched in his armchair in worn-out boxer shorts, scooped up from the floor in a t-shirt. And he'd been contemplating a shower when he picked up his laptop. But Gino looks comfortable and wrung out, and Sydney has to bite down on more smiles as he watches his head droop down against the pillow, and then snap back up quickly, yawning again. He should kick him out. He really should. He keeps bitching instead. I wonder if I can get out of this, Sydney says. Technically, I'm not cleared to play yet, and that's not going to happen before the season starts. He's proud of himself managing to not wince when he says it, keeping his face straight. And he hears the bed spring squeak again. And Julie wants this to go down the weekend before opening day, so technically, since I'm not playing, I could...
Still on team, Gino says,
suddenly sounding much more awake. Now Sydney winces.
Still captain.
Well, Sydney says, and he hurries when the bedspring squeak louder, like Gino sitting up straight. Yep, okay, I'm still the captain. Ugh.
Whiny captain, Gino says.
And Sydney closes his laptop with a snap and looks over again, narrowing his eyes balefully. Hey now. Gino just grins at him, sitting up cross-legged in the bed, the sheets draped over his lap. Sydney's eyes drag over the curves of his shoulders, the slanted lines of his torso becoming his waist and hips, and his stupid, cheesy grin, which Sydney should not let him get away with. I'm not whiny, Sydney says, moving onto the bed without really thinking about it. Gino's grin widens, and he reaches out for Sydney, pulling him to lean against him and kissing his lips. It's not an apology kiss, not that Sydney was expecting one, but more of an, I'm cute, so I can say these things, kiss. Sydney huffs and silently disagrees, but kisses back hungrily anyway.
Whine about, cougars,
Gino mumbles, kissing Sydney's cheek and pushing his hand out the back of his t-shirt. His palm is warm and heavy, and Sydney pushes into it on instinct, even as he huffs out an annoyed breath against Gino's neck.
With good reason, okay? Okay.
Gino says agreeably, moving his mouth along Sydney's jaw and nuzzling slowly. Sydney's fingers flex over Gino's shoulders, leaning in more, his legs twisted up under him, and Gino's hand still stroking up and down his back.
Seriously, this is going to suck, Sydney says,
and Gino presses their foreheads together for a minute.
I save you from cougars.
Sydney's breath hitches slightly when the barest hint of Gino's teeth nip along the side of his face, and he moves their mouths back together insistently. They kiss wetly and long enough for Sydney to think about the practicalities of more sex. He still hasn't showered after all, and Gino's still naked, still slicked and stretched from before. Trailing his hands down from Gino's shoulders is an easy decision, and Sydney scratches lightly over his ribs before groping down his lower back and cupping the topmost swell of Gino's ass.
Cougars will get me, Gino,
Sydney says lowly, and his brain is only like 40% still involved in this conversation, much more involved in pulling the sheet away and ducking his head down to watch Gino's dick harden slowly between them. He thinks Gino's brain is only like 10% into the conversation as he leans back and shifts to push his legs out in front of him, pulling Sydney to crawl on top of him and kiss him while spread over his chest. He still manages to somehow force out,
I can bid on Sid.
And then grin like an idiot at his rhyming. Sydney is not helping matters by grinning like an idiot in return, but whatever. He kisses Gino hard, biting gently on his lower lip, and rocking his hips over Gino's, feeling him get harder against his thigh. He shakes his head and mournfully says,
I don't think you're allowed. Who says?
Gino says, his hands going to Sydney's hips and pushing them into his own. Sydney moans as his covered dick grinds against Gino's half hard and 100% into getting harder. He moans louder when Gino's hands slide down past the worn waistband of Sydney's boxers, grabbing two handfuls of his ass and pushing him even more.
Ugh, rules, I guess. Gino. Sid wearing my boxers.
Gino says. And Sydney swears his cock actually jumps at that, heat flaring quick and sharp in his gut. He rocks his hips more, satisfaction pulsing through him, as Gino's dick fills to a hard line against his belly.
Gonna fuck me again, yeah? Can bid on you if want. Christ, Gino.
Sydney says, kissing him hard, and then flailing towards the nightstand for the condoms. Gino yanks his boxers down, until Sydney can kick them off his legs, and hisses as his dick hits the air, palming it, and settling back into the cradle of Gino's spread thighs.
You're okay to... again? Sydney asks,
even as he fumbles the condom with shaking fingers. And Gino rolls his eyes, and reaches around to grind Sydney into him again. Both bare from the waist down, their dicks slip against each other, and Sydney nearly drops the condom, groaning loudly. Gino wraps his legs around Sydney's waist, knees pressed hard and insistent at his ribs. And Sydney doesn't really need the hard kiss he's pulled into for more confirmation of Gino's readiness. But of course he doesn't say no to it. Gino grunts when Sydney slips two cautious fingers into him, slick from the lube on the nightstand, bought upon Gino's North American return, already dwindling faster than Sydney had ever thought possible. But he's ready and open. His knees rock inward, a heavy pressure squeezing Sydney. Sydney murmurs, okay, and kisses him again, open-mouthed and sloppy, happy. He rubs a hand over Gino's right knee, remembering how careful they had to be with it last year. He feels a gooey rush of affection and gratitude that Gino's healed now, that though the summer had taken him away from Sydney, it had returned him healthy and ready to lead the team in Sydney's stead. And it's stupid how all of that tangles up in his head while they're in bed together. He doesn't think this is supposed to work like that. That stuff doesn't really have a place here. That's why they don't cuddle. Really, he's just supposed to get the condom on and push himself in. Slowly, watching Gino carefully, tracking the tiny movements and twitches of his face as avidly as he can. And maybe that has no place here either, but Sydney's not about to make himself stop. And then fuck Gino until they're both breathless and sweating again. And Sydney does that. He totally does that. Loves doing that. He loves watching every thrust play out over Gino's face. His normally wide-open eyes clenched shut, and little moans and Russian mutters escaping the kiss-swollen lips. Sydney works his hips in a slow, steady rhythm, until Gino's muttering gets louder and more insistent. His eyes forced open to look at Sydney with imploring want and need.
Sid, he says croakily,
and Sydney obeys the unspoken command immediately, picking up his pace, the muscles in his thighs only straining enough to remind him that his training really isn't where he wants to be yet, but not enough to deter him. Gino kind of hums and reaches up, palming the side of Sydney's face. As Sydney leverages himself forward, Gino's knees are still a heavy cradle against him, and as the want and pleasure starts to build up in his gut, Sydney lets himself close his eyes and lean into Gino's touch and admit that right now, all that stuff tangled up in his head is totally worth it for this. It's still worth it after, slumped together and breathing shaky and high-pitched from getting off. Gino sort of melted into the bed again, like he's still not planning on moving anytime soon. And now, Sydney can totally understand the impulse, even if his rational mind is still squawking at him about it. Gino's arms come around him, holding Sydney sprawled on top of him, even though that can't possibly be comfortable. But for those moments, all Sydney can do is lie there and breathe in the smell of Gino's sweat and sex and not be grossed out yet. He should totally be grossed out of the thing. Gino's cum is starting to dry and stick them together, and he really needs to take the condom off, but it's a good 5 or 10 minutes before he can force himself to move again. Gino's arms go tight, and he mumbles a protest in a sloppy kiss against the side of Sydney's forehead. But Sydney just kisses him back and shakes his head.
Shower. Come on, Gino.
Sleep, Gino corrects.
It's barely 9 at night. But that sounds like the best thing in the world right now. Which is why Sydney has to shake his head again and wrench himself out of Gino's octopus hold.
Come on, we're disgusting. You can have first shower.
Gino peers up at him, looking betrayed, and Sydney tries for his most winning smile.
Shower together.
Sydney laughs, high and catching in his throat, shaking his head. My dick is going to fall off. Are you nuts? Gino looks way too pleased with himself over that, sitting up and sliding over to the edge of the bed, He reaches out and grabs one of Sydney's wrists in his hand, shaking it and looking imploring.
Not have to do anything, just...
I'm going to get water, Sydney says, hoping it comes out firm and not snappish, but really. He should be kicking Gino out on his ass. Should not be wanting to crawl back into bed with him and curl up together, all sticky and gross like they are. Gino hums in something like dismissal or annoyance, but Sydney hovers enough that he actually starts dragging himself towards the bathroom, staggering a bit. Sydney pulls on the same boxes again, pointedly not shivering when he considers the fact that they're apparently Gino's, or when he feels Gino's eyes on him, heavy and still somewhat suggestive. Sydney ignores every feeling that's prickling at his skin. Like a rash, he tells himself stubbornly, and heads down to the kitchen. He purposefully takes his time getting water, letting the filter run for a while before filling a glass, turning the faucet off, draining the whole glass slowly, and repeating the process exactly the same way. He does it a third time, but with a new glass for Gino, and then goes back upstairs. Secretly, Sydney's relieved that Gino's already curled back up in his bed, a damp towel on the floor, and his wet hair, a dark circle against his pillowcase. He hadn't wanted to come back up and ask Gino to leave, or worse, ask him to stay, and make it awkward, even though that would have been the right thing to do. This is simpler, really, and it's easy to shower and go through his nightly routine, to pull on pyjama pants after giving Gino's boxers a hesitant frown, and to climb into bed beside him and curl up on his own side, not touching, but listening to Gino breathe, and reminding himself that he doesn't really approve of this. The bed is heated with Gino's shower warmth, and it dips around him, and as much as Sydney doesn't approve of them sleeping together, he has to admit, he likes his bed much better when Gino's in it. Sydney thinks of what Gino said about the auction, that night as he's falling asleep next to him, and in the days after, when they go to training camp together, or slip into the preseason, or get dinner with the guys. Some of his teammates have the same disgruntled reaction to the auction idea as Sydney had had, especially the guys with girlfriends, who are way too amused and unoffended by the idea. But a lot of them feel like Gino, sort of shrugging it off or laughing about it like the girlfriends. Neela has a competitive glint in his eye when they talk about it over a team dinner, and normally Sydney would appreciate and even encourage that glint, but now it just makes him nervous. "I bet you and I go for the most bank out there," he says, running a hand through his hair and tossing it around, which of course makes everyone laugh loudly at him. "Yeah, right," Tanja says, tossing his own hair. Flower and Duper loyally give him thumbs up, and therefore the win, in the little vanity competition that's broken out. Sydney leans back in his seat, nursing his beer and staying impartial, as a good captain should. Though he'll personally always give the win to Chris. "Not while I'm on this team." "Bring it," Neela says, raising his eyebrows dramatically. Sydney sighs because none of them are even drunk. Just really dumb. But now everyone's getting into it, laying their bets on Neil or Letang and arguing over each other. Sydney really should discourage such divisive activity on his team. They're not supposed to be pitted against each other, except only to drive each other. And he adds that to the list of reasons why this auction idea sucks so much. He's planning to email Julie. Mario's wrath be damned. He looks at Brewski, who would probably agree with him, but he's still just grumbling that his fiancée won't defend his honour. "It's just so stupid," Brewski says. "It's called a bachelor auction, and we're not even really bachelors, not eligible ones at least." "Yeah, but if they're stuck with that, there'd only be like, what, four of us out there, right?" Neela says, and then he grins smugly at Tanja. "And I would still win." "Because I'm taken," Tanja shoots back, and they start bickering again. "There's six of us single," Sydney says, counting mentally, and looking at Gino, who just shrugs at him unhelpfully. Everyone quiets for a second and looks at Sydney like he'd said something really stupid. And just as Sydney is working up to a defensive list of the confirmed bachelors on the pens, they start talking again, as if he hadn't said anything at all. "I think Sid will win," Gino says, when they just continue to go around in who's hotter circles. And Sydney puts his face in his hands and tries to argue that it's not a game. The only winner is the one who gets out of doing this.
But Gina just barrels on shamelessly.
Because I bid for him. And I bid most.
Can we do that? Brooks asks speculatively. And he just narrows his eyes when Sidney squawks,
no.
Everyone's looking at him again, quieting down once more. And Sidney huffs a breath out and shakes his head.
We can't bid on each other, that's illogical.
Yeah, but Aaron could bid on me if Gina could bid on... Brooks starts, and Sidney shakes his head, looking to Gino and making sure he sounds firm.
Gino can't bid on me, that's the whole point.
That's why this sucks so much, Sidney thinks. But somehow, he doesn't think that's going to make it on the list he sends to Julie. He thinks about it, though, as Gino's eyes crinkle in amusement, and he hides most of his smile behind his glass of wine.
Maybe Aaron can bid on you, though. I don't really know.
Sweet, Brooks says, high-fiving Geordie, and looking much happier about the whole thing. Sidney wishes he could feel happier about the whole thing. Gino accuses him of lingering injury crankiness, which is probably mostly true. But even Gino's solemn and only slightly bemused promise not to bid on Sidney doesn't make him feel happier. It kind of makes him feel a little hollow. And for a while, he kind of wishes he did have someone like Brooks has Aaron. Someone who actually can save him from cougars in public. Someone for whom that's in their job description as a significant other. Instead, he has Gino. Well, he doesn't really have Gino. He just has sex with Gino. And Sidney has to constantly remind himself that that's not the same thing. He starts to feel better when a plan forms, though. He may not have someone like Aaron to bid on him, but he does have other people. People who would be happy to be embroiled in a nefarious scheme like this. As long as Sidney calls it a nefarious scheme and presents it as such. So he calls a summit with those he suspects will be totally into helping him out, if they don't have too much homework. And once they stop laughing at him too. Over Skype, Taylor and Stephanie seem to think that the distance between Minnesota and Pennsylvania gives them license to go into full-on hysterics over his predicament. Alexa and Austin, gathered with him in the living room of Sydney's house, and bribed with junk food, are at least able to show some restraint, trying to stifle their giggles into their hands.
You guys are being bad role models, Sydney tells the girls, whose laughter is ringing out from the speakers of his laptop. Seriously, it's not that funny!
Taylor hiccups, waving vaguely at the camera, while Stephanie leans into her and wheezes.
This is the best thing ever!
Sidney folds his arms over his chest and looks over at his favourite Lemieux children.
That is what happens to you when you leave home too early, okay? I know, because I did it too. It turned you into a mean, rotten person, starved for affection.
Sidney! The girls shriek in unison, still laughing, not sounding nearly as insulted as they should. Sidney briefly considers just closing the laptop, except he's not entirely sure Sidney won't tell their mum, and he may have left home too young, but that doesn't mean he's immune to his mother's lectures.
Can we please be serious? Sidney says, calling upon his best captainy tone to wrangle the kids in.
His teammates can sometimes bear discomforting resemblances to teenage girls. Soon, Taylor and Stephanie finally quiet down to giggles, while Alexa and Austin look perfectly attentive, perhaps remembering the pop he'd had to go out and buy specifically for them.
Okay, Sidney says, leaning forward, with his hands folded in front of him, looking between the laptop and the couch the kids are sharing. We need to get the plan straight.
I don't get it, Austin says immediately. He has Dorito dust all over his mouth and fingers, but he's taking Sidney seriously enough, and that's really all he can ask for right now.
Like, what's so bad about this auction? Dad said it'll be fun.
Fun to watch, Taylor cuts in, an evil cackle not at all well hidden in her voice. Sidney wants to know when his little sister learned to cackle and tried not to despair too much about it.
And someone will bid on you. Maybe someone hot.
Austin presses his orange lips together thoughtfully, wincing a bit in sympathy.
You think no one's going to bid on you? Because you're famous, you know, that'll help.
You're not terrible looking, Alexa pipes up, much to Sidney's horror. He shoots his look of horror over at the laptop, silently begging Taylor not to touch that one. But she just says,
ew.
Sidney's breath whooshes out of him in relief.
You're rich, Austin says. Chicks dig that.
They'll be rich too, dummy, Stephanie calls out.
And Sidney drops his head into his hands, wondering why he ever possibly thought this was a good idea. It's a charity auction. Tickets are probably like $1 million each. That's impossible, Austin snaps. And Sidney has been through enough Lemieux family dinners to know exactly what level of bickering hell this is about to descend into. So he snaps his head up and holds out his hands imploringly. Okay, wait. Just back up, please, and hear me out. The kids all blink at him, curious and wary, and just a little mocking. But not laughing or fighting. Yet. It's not that I don't think girls are going to bid on me. I'm actually sure that they are. Wow! Egomaniac much, Taylor says. And really, Sidney should have bet on that. He tosses a glare over at her and soldiers on. And that's the problem. I don't want to be bought by some random woman and get stuck going on a date with her.
Why? Austin asks, genuinely thrown.
You'll understand when you're older, Sidney says tiredly. And somehow that sets Taylor off laughing again. Probably because it's bullshit, but whatever. Austin just continues to look baffled and uncomprehending. And Sidney really can't blame him. But then he brightens and asks, So wait, could they bid on me instead? Because that would be really cool. I could take the winner to homecoming.
Ew, who would bid on you, loser? Stephanie says.
And Sidney groans loudly. No, you can't. No one can bid on you, Austin, I'm sorry. Then, because Austin looks a bit crestfallen, Sidney pulls a can of Coke from where he's been guarding them under his chair. He has to watch their sugar intake. Natalie will kill him if they come home bouncing off the walls. And tosses it over. But hey, if you ask someone nicely at school, they'll probably totally go to homecoming with you. He's pretty sure that asking nicely works. Though he hopes Austin doesn't press him for any more detailed advice on the matter. I want you guys to bid on me. Sidney tells them again, hoping that doesn't set off another cascade of laughter. Austin's still too confused, though. And Taylor and Stephanie have their heads bent together, which is never a really good sign. But at least that keeps them quiet. But I thought the problem was that you didn't want people bidding on you. Austin says, still thoughtful. I want you guys to bid on me, because then I won't have to go on a date with you, Sidney explains, carefully staying patient. I'll give you each a bunch of money to spend. The charity still gets paid, and I don't have to go on a stupid date with a possibly crazy person.
Why do you think they might be crazy? Austin asks.
Sidney grits his teeth, but Stephanie's already jumping in.
Because only a crazy person would bid on Sidney, duh.
Oh, Gino, Taylor adds, beaming at him through the screen. Sidney wills himself not to flush hot as his mind races. Are Taylor and Gino talking to each other? And everyone else nods, like that makes a perfect amount of sense. I'll bid on you, Sidney, Alexa says, and Sidney smiles at her gratefully, feeling warm. You don't even have to give me the money. I'll use my allowance. Sidney bites down on a wider smile and shakes his head. No, that's okay. You probably don't have enough to outbid the other women. Thank you, though.
Well, Sid, you must really think highly of yourself if you think Alexa can't afford you, Taylor says.
Sidney sighs, the smile dropping, but the warm feeling doesn't go away. He knows Taylor's going to help once she stops giving him shit. So is Stephanie, even as she says, Dad will kill you if you blow all your allowance on Sidney, Lex. Then she looks at Sidney, frowning a little.
Actually, there's no way Dad's going to let us do this.
I have a plan for your dad, Sidney says firmly. He doesn't mention that the plan is, we're not going to tell him. With some added, when he yells, it'll be after the fact, and that's all that matters. You won't get in trouble, I promise. You guys just come to the auction. Steph, you and Taylor will be in for the weekend anyway, so it won't look suspicious, and I already got you tickets. Then just wait for my auction to come up and bid. You can let someone else start the bidding, and I don't care which of you actually wins, just keep going until no one can bid any higher. Can we use fake names? Austin says very seriously. Sidney shrugs. Sure, whatever. People are going to know it's the Lemieux children and Taylor, and it's not like any of this is going to be very covert during the auction. He's just hoping that people will be charmed enough by the teen's loyalty that they let it go. Okay, Austin says after a few minutes of thoughtful silence. Probably spent thinking up a pseudonym. I'm in. I'll bid on you. Me too, Alexa says. And Sidney grins at both of them and tosses them more pop, ignoring the booze from the laptop until he turns and looks at them imploringly. Fine, Stephanie says, sighing heavily, rolling her eyes. Since you're that desperate. Taylor has not been a good influence on you. He's smiling, though, when he adds, "Thank you, Steph. I mean it. You're amazing."
"Yeah, yeah," Stephanie says, waving him off. "I have to go do homework now, or else I'll have to tell Mum and Dad that you're not only making me commit fraud, you're also making my grades drop."
"It's not fraud," Sydney groans. But Stephanie is laughing and yelling, "Later, losers!" and disappearing from the frame.
Sydney looks at Taylor, pulling the laptop closer to him and leaning in, and makes his eyes go as wide as possible.
"Taylor?"
"Ugh," Taylor says, wrinkling her nose. "Don't do that."
"I really need your help. I'm your brother."
"Stop it! You know I'm going to help you," Taylor says, lips quirking upward.
"Stephanie's right. You were totally desperate. And while it would be way more entertaining to watch a bunch of rich chicks fight over you, while you shit like a leaf on stage, I'm actually a good little sister."
"You're the best little sister," Sydney says, not even lying or exaggerating a little bit. Taylor smiles like she knows that. They talk until Sydney gently reminds Taylor that if Stephanie has homework, she probably does too, while Alexa and Austin continue to dive into the junk food on the coffee table and complain about Sydney's taste in video games. He's just signed off with Taylor when he hears his front door open, making the kids freeze with their hands halfway in the bag of chips. But it's just Gino, pulling off his light jacket and grinning big everyone. Sydney grins helplessly back while Alexa and Austin sigh loudly in relief.
"We have party,"
Gino asks, coming over to stand by Sydney's chair and leaning down to snag a can of Coke. He sits on the arm of the chair and he's warm and smells kind of like leaves. And Sydney suspects that if he looks out on his front walkway, the spare leaves that have dropped off his ancient oak will be swept into a pile. Even though the person he pays to do yard work isn't supposed to come until Saturday. Sydney's stomach squirms a little uneasily to wonder if that's something a semi-regular, okay, maybe totally regular, hookup is supposed to do for you. But he thinks there's definitely something a friend might do for you, especially a friend like Gino. And Sydney and Gino are always friends first, no matter what. He looks up at Gino, shaking his head, and trying to tamp down on the crazy person grin he knows is stretching his lips right now. "Nah, just hanging out."
"Looks like fun,"
Gino says, looking around at the bribery food, scattered across the coffee table with a raised eyebrow. Sydney jabs him in the side with his elbow, which only makes him laugh and tip closer towards Sydney on the chair. And Sydney could point out that there's an entire empty love seat that Gino could be sprawled over. But he doesn't. Instead, he shifts beneath the warm, solid weight of Gino's body, pressed into his side, and looks over, where the kids are not at all being subtle about watching them.
"What?"
Sydney says, thinking fleetingly about the empty love seat when Gino's arm goes around his shoulders. Alexa just smiles brightly at them, and Austin looks thoughtful again, his fingers leaving cheesy prints against his chin as he thinks. Then Austin says,
"Oh!"
very loudly and brightens up like Alexa.
"What?"
Sydney repeats, no longer feeling like he's one of the adults in the room. Austin just nods, gives him a big thumbs up. "No, it's cool. I get why you need the plan now."
"Plan?"
Gino asks, looking curious. And Sydney just nudges him gently in the side.
"I'll tell you later. We were going to play video games, right?"
"Yeah, except all your games suck," Austin says plainly. Sydney opens his mouth to retort, but Gino stands up, giving Sydney's shoulder a quick squeeze, and heading over to the pile of games the kids have been going through.
"That one's good,"
he tells them with authority, picking up a box Sydney recognizes with a sinking feeling.
"It's good because Sid terrible at it," he says.
Alexa and Austin pipe up immediately, wanting to see Sydney play. And Sydney would totally protest, he really would. Except that maybe humiliating himself playing a racing game is like the least that he owes them. He never winds up actually telling Gino about the plan, despite his earlier promise. It's not really on purpose, it just happens that way. Alexa and Austin leave after finagling pizza out of him, with the help of Gino's impossible puppy eyes, of course. And Sydney and Gino clean up after them, scrubbing cheese dust out of the carpet with due diligence. After that, it's easy enough to get in the shower together, scrubbing one another with the same kind of diligence. Sydney feels perfectly comfortable pushing Gino up against the wet tiles and kissing him hard.
until they're both shivering in warm water. And he's more than okay with Gino fitting Sidney against his front and holding him, jerking him off in slow, languid pulls that make him gasp. All of that's fine. It's easy. Just as easy as sucking out video games with the youngest Lemieux kids, and ordering pizza the way he knows Gino likes without even really thinking about it. What's hard is thinking about all of that together. And maybe he's too busy thinking about that to tell Gino about the plan. Sidney thinks about what they're supposed to do, as friends and teammates, and as people who have sex with each other. And he thinks about what they actually do, and he's not sure it all really matches up. Still, thinking like that doesn't make it any harder to let Gino make him come hard. Head dropped back on Gino's shoulder, and his body loose and pliable, against the slightly larger one behind him. Gino murmurs in Russian against Sidney's neck, kissing him there. And he stands there and waits for Sidney to come back to himself. Hand pressed steady, embracing against his lower stomach, and another arm across his chest. They stand long enough for Sidney to think that Gino would just stand there forever for him, ignoring his own dick pressed hot and hard against Sidney's ass, and that's... Sidney doesn't know what to do with that exactly. Or what else to do besides turn in the circle of Gino's arms and kiss him, hard but shaky, and then fit his hand between them and jerk Gino off with careful, pointed precision.
Sid,
Gino says, and nothing else in English. Just bits and scraps of Russian rasped out into the steamy air surrounding them. Sidney can only imagine what he's actually saying. And he's glad that Gino comes fairly quickly, because the things he's imagining are embarrassing and ill-advised, and not even close to what he should be imagining for them. He's shaky after, with those imagined words rattling around in the tender parts of his chest, and with Gino's soft smile and wandering hands, and the way he kisses Sidney very gently once they're both dressed and standing in the bedroom, like he wants to be all proper about it now. Sidney kisses back. He always kisses back. And he wonders if it should be a reflex to kiss your friend and your teammate whenever he wants to, or if that's another thing they're doing wrong. It's almost better to think of it as a reflex, though, than thinking of it as something he just wants all the time, always, and maybe he always will. So he doesn't tell Gino about the plan. Instead, he kisses him long enough to think their clothes might actually be a stupid idea, and then long enough to think about how stupid that thought was. Maybe you should go home tonight, Sidney says. He hopes the fact that the words are muttered out against Gino's kissed, puffed lips doesn't mean the signals get crossed or mistranslated. But Gino wrenches back and stares at him with those impossibly wide eyes. There is only a small amount of distance between them, but right then it seems like much more. And Sidney folds his arms up over his chest and makes himself stare right back at Gino. I mean, you definitely should, not maybe.
Sid,
Gino says. And it's such a marked contrast from the way he'd said it in the shower. Now it's uncertain, and maybe a little wounded, and it makes Sidney want to flinch right back into Gino's space and not leave again. You've been staying over a lot lately, is all Sidney really has, because he really doesn't want this to become a thing where he has to remind Gino what they really are to each other. He shouldn't have to do that. Gino should know because he helped set the terms. He agreed in the beginning. He'd said,
good idea.
And they'd sealed it with blowjobs. But Gino was still just looking at him, kind of blankly. Not really visibly upset, but kind of like he's been left out of a locker room joke because he doesn't understand. Sidney hates that look. Hated it back when Gino had first joined the team, or when Gonch had first left, and Gino had no one to immediately look to for catching up. Sidney hates being the cause of that look, especially because he understands it all too well. Knows exactly the kind of hollow, uneasy feeling it represents. I'm not being a dick, Sidney tells him, but it comes out sounding defensive instead of consoling. It's just, we don't do that, right? He doesn't like making it sound like a question because he should be sure about this. But suddenly he needs to know that Gino's sure too. Gino's frowning now, and Sydney realizes it's possible that he has absolutely no idea what Sydney means when he says that. Sydney's not even sure what he means exactly. That is just this vague idea in Sydney's mind of being coupled, a partnership committed to each other in a different way than their partnership on the ice. A partnership that could completely interfere with that other partnership, and so it's one that seemed entirely impossible.
You mean sleep together? Gino finally asks,
when it becomes obvious that Sydney's not offering up anything new.
Sort of, so Sydney nods,
and Gino's brow furrows deeply.
But you just say...
I'm talking about what sleeping together means, Sydney says, waving a little in the space between them. Like that will help at all. Sydney knows that the next words out of Gino's mouth will undoubtedly be, what does sleeping together mean? But he speaks quickly to head that off. And I just think, like, the season's starting, and we don't want to make things complicated, remember? We always said that. That was, like, the first thing we said when we started this, I guess. So I just think it'd be a good idea if we got back to that, right back to... He has no idea what they should get back to, because he can't actually recall the significant shift in their relationship, just the added factor of sex. Gino just looks completely lost, and really, Sydney can't blame him. He suddenly feels like he's the one making this complicated, which makes him flush red. Maybe Gino doesn't think about this that much. He definitely hasn't been obsessing over it like Sydney has. But Gino also looks like he's figured out what a completely lost cause Sydney is for this conversation, and probably in general. And he just nods, sort of solemnly, reaching out to briefly clasp Sydney's wrist where it rests across to the forearm, pressed over his chest.
Okay, I understand.
Sydney hears the question there because he's sure there's no way that Gino can understand. Gino rubs his thumb over Sydney's wrist bone and then leans in to kiss him softly, close-mouthed and chaste.
Good night, Sydney.
Good night, Sydney says, and then he says, I'll walk you out. Because he can't not walk Gino out. That would be weirder to him than this entire conversation has been. Gino looks amused by that and lets Sydney follow him around the house while he gathers his things and then see him to the door.
Have good sleep,
Gino tells him in the front doorway. And Sydney kisses him again because, yeah, he kind of always wants to do that. Not just when they're having sex, which should be the only time he wants it, but all the time. And he can't imagine there ever being a time when he doesn't want to. It feels really complicated and pretty problematic. Sydney hates it. It still feels complicated and problematic when Sydney sees Gino the next day, showing up at his house this time, and clearly throwing him for even more of a loop with takeout breakfast and a determined grin on his face, but whatever. This is a friend thing to do, Sydney knows. Friend things are okay. Teammate things are okay. Sex things are also okay. The problem is when those things all intersect, and how Sydney kind of wants them to intersect. But it's fine, really, because Gino eats breakfast with him, and things are forcibly normal for long enough that it stops feeling forced. That Gino now seems amused as well as bewildered. It's normal enough that it never really occurs to Sydney to fill Gino in on the plan when they hang out, though he does think about it at night, like remembering something he left off his grocery list. Sydney lies in his bed, which has started seeming much bigger to him, no matter how many times he reminds himself how much he likes his space, and thinks about the auction, thinks about how virulently he despises the thought of dating someone, even for one night, and wishes he could virulently despise the idea of dating Gino forever. And he tells himself that he really doesn't have to worry about either issue because he has a plan, and things are normal, and Sydney likes plans and normal. The plan feels solid enough to him that he's not even that nervous in the day leading up to the auction. He doesn't bitch as much about it, which should probably have tipped at least his teammates off that he has something cooked up, but no one really asks. And Sydney feels kind of proud of that. The plan will work best in the heat of the moment, with no one looking out for it. And it really does feel like a nefarious scheme like this. He sets the kids up with deep pockets, ignoring Taylor's continued chirping over how much he thinks he's worth. And he lets PR hire someone to style him for the auction because, whatever, they can't dress him well enough to make Taylor and the youngest Amuse get outbid. He's made sure of that. He and Gino are dressed together, and while Gino is endlessly amused by Sydney's newfound, easygoing nature regarding the whole ordeal, Sydney can only pay attention to how ridiculously good Gino looks in his tux. It's more than ridiculous. Actually, it's kind of disconcerting. Most hockey players that Sydney has seen, himself included, tend to just look really awkward in tuxedos. And maybe Gino's not technically an exception, because Sydney's starting to realise how impossible it is for him to be objective about these things. But Gino's so tall and lean, and as annoying as the fittings are, the suit is fitted to every line of his body in a way that makes Sydney kind of... He feels a bit overwhelmed, staring at Gino in his suit. Gino's goofy, slightly self-conscious smile when he catches Sydney looking should probably make him embarrassed, but somehow it just makes the overwhelming feeling worse. This is different than being attracted to Gino when they're in bed together, or when they're playing together. This is being attracted to Gino in a place where other people are being encouraged to be attracted to him, and that's more than disconcerting.
Sid, okay? Gino asks.
And that's when Sydney figures out he's actually been glaring at Gino in his tux for the last few minutes. He's not really glaring at Gino, though. He's glaring at the people he imagines are going to be looking at Gino when he looks like this.
Fine, Sydney says shortly. But he's really not fine until later, when Gino follows him home from the fitting, and then kind of shoves him into a sprawl on the couch, and tugs down his pants with very little preamble.
Cougar's going to be after you in that suit, Sid, Gino says,
and he sounds a little gruff. Though maybe he's just turned on by how obviously and completely Sydney is turned on right now, when they haven't even done anything. Sydney's also glaring again, because Sydney's definitely not going to be the only one the Cougars will be after, and anyway, he already has protection against them. Actually, now would be a good time to bring up the plan. Except for how it's a terrible time, because Gino pulled down Sydney's pants so he could blow him, and now that's happening. Sydney shuts up until he realises that Gino wants him to make noise. And he realises that because Gino is being a giant fucking tease with his terrible mouth whenever Sydney stays quiet. So he makes noise. He doesn't say much of anything coherent at first, but then he whimpers out Gino's name just once, and Gino mouths at exactly the right spot, just under the head of his dick, and then pulls off until Sydney says his name again. He's kind of growling it, because Gino should not be allowed to tease him at a time like this, but Gino doesn't mind at all. He also doesn't mind when Sydney comes with no warning, but a particularly loud shout of his name, quick enough that he might be embarrassed about it with a stranger, but not with Gino. Gino doesn't mind anything at all. And Sydney knows this because when Gino crawls clumsily up on top of him and kisses him, limbs sort of everywhere, and a heavy weight straddling his thighs, he's pushing his erection against Sydney's stomach, like just that will do it for him. Maybe that will do it for him, but Sydney can do him one better. He twists and shoves the both of them around until he's on his back on the couch, and Gino straddling his chest now. And he opens his mouth and pulls down Gino's sweats and says, "You can." And for a second, Gino looks like he's going to just lose it all over Sydney's face without even doing anything, and Sydney is weirdly disappointed. But with a shuddering breath, Gino braces himself against the arm of the couch with one hand, and uses the other to guide his dick into Sydney's open mouth. And Sydney feels triumphant, mostly about how Gino didn't ask if he was sure. It's awkward and uncomfortable, and Sydney absolutely hates that he loves Gino on top of him, like this, fucking his mouth in small, slow thrusts that really shouldn't work as well as they seem to, if Gino's wrecked, sweaty face is anything to go by. Sydney keeps himself relaxed and concentrates on not choking when Gino goes too far, on letting Gino use his mouth the way he pleases. And it's immediately satisfying when Gino comes as quickly as Sydney had. It's really hard to swallow like this, but also his only option. So Sydney does it gamely, and then pushes Gino back so he can kiss him. Sydney'd like that enough, but his dick feels like it could be ready to go again, and pretty soon. Maybe in even more creative ways, but in the meantime, he just kisses his taste out of Gino's mouth, exchanging it for Gino's own. This would also be a pretty good time to tell Gino about the plan, but the closest he gets is saying, "No cougars," against Gino's neck, before kissing him there, until he has to remind himself how stupid a hickey would be. Gino hums back approvingly, and stays wrapped around Sydney, tight. So that brings up an unfortunate issue that kind of combines the problems of the auction and this thing with Gino. Sydney really, really doesn't want to see Gino date anyone else, even for one night. There is only time to tell himself how stupid and impractical that issue is, and how it's not something he can solve in any logical way. This barely helps. He spends enough time in bed at night, the only time he has to himself, with the season so close and the auction even closer, glaring at the ceiling and imagining the auction, shifting around in his too big bed, and unable to stop picturing the scores of hot women that will be jumping to bid on Gino. Suddenly, it's not cougars he's afraid of anymore. And he's not even particularly afraid for himself. Sydney has his plan. Gino has no plan. Gino might even like the auction. It gets worse the day of the auction, when Sydney is allowed to sneak out to grab a peek at all the attendees, most of which are women dressed in their best and certainly looking it. There are wives and girlfriends too, and most of the Penn's organisation. But Sydney can't help but scowl everyone in the room before he's yanked backstage by a PR intern that barely comes up to his shoulder. "Julie gave me strict instructions to keep an eye on you, Mr. Crosby," the intern says, eyes narrow and piercing behind her glasses. "I am listening to those instructions because Julie is scary." Julie is a cheerful blonde who always wears pumps and never stops smiling. Sydney has to agree about the scary part. "I'm not doing anything. I'm already wearing the stupid tux, see?" "Get back with the other bachelors," the intern snaps, ushering him down a hallway to a room he can't help calling a holding cell in his head. "And get those hands out of your pockets. I have a stun gun, and I'm not afraid to use it." Sydney is pretty sure the intern can't actually use a stun gun on him, but he takes his hands out of his pockets just in case. Some of his teammates had obviously checked out the attendees too, because guys like Neil are rubbing their hands together with excitement. James is loudly promising the rest of the team that he can totally get the hottest girl in the room to be the highest for him. And Sydney has no idea how he plans to accomplish that. But Paulie is encouraging him and Tandra is heckling him, so Sydney really can stay out of it. He's too annoyed, really, to worry about their betting. And Gina is casting sidelong, bemused glances at him.
"Sid, all over the place," Gina says eventually,
like he can't keep quiet about it.
"Mad about cougars, then okay. Then mad again. Lots of scary people out there. Ugly."
"No," Sydney says, "because that's the problem." But Gino just looks like he wants to laugh. And then he does laugh when the intern swoops in out of nowhere and slaps Sydney's hands out of his pockets. After he's settled down, Gino looks like he wants to keep pressing Sydney, but Julie joins them and promptly shuts the room up with her blinding smile. She sends a number of interns after them with lint rollers, perkily reading off a list of rules that make Gino grin widely and wink at Sydney when she gets to, "And no bidding on each other, guys, we want to keep this fair." She asks them if they have any preference for order, and half the guys just yelp out that they don't want to go first. Gino says,
"I go last, and Sid right before me, like ice."
And Julie just nods and marks it down, making Sydney wonder if he shouldn't have had Gino arguing their way out of this thing from the start. "This isn't like the ice," Sydney tells Gino, when Julie heads off to calmly referee the arm wrestling match that is broken out between Geordie and Cookie to decide who goes first. "It's nothing like the ice. No one can win here." Gino gives him a comforting pat on the shoulder.
"Still, we stick with routine. Give us luck."
"What luck is there to have?" Sydney asks woefully, and Gino just cracks up, bumping him lightly.
"Sydney Crosby not believe in luck.
We are all doomed, then.
You're not funny, Sydney says. Except for Hal Juno is funny. He's charming, and his smile is cute. And Sydney just kind of wants to rip him out of his tux and can't stop thinking about all the women who are also going to want that.
You still want help? Austin texts him. Lots hot chicks, even if not your thing.
Yes! Sydney texts back, in exclamation points, even though he never uses those in texts. Gino uses them enough for both of them.
Okay, Austin answers, which is never a reassuring text to receive, and Gino has to text Taylor, Stephanie, and Alexa individually to make sure they're all still with the program, before he can go back to brooding about the situation with Gino and his devil tuxedo.
Julie tells them they're all supposed to wait in the holding cell until it's their turn to head out on stage. But when Jordan gets marched off by a pair of interns, Brooks watches him like he's shipping off to war, and then mutters, "Fuck that," and leads the team out after him. Sydney shows them the spot backstage where he'd been able to peek out without being seen, and they all crowd around with each other, waving off anyone who tries to move them with charming grins and puppy eyes. They watch as Geordie's introduced by Julie, then led around the stage like he's part of a dog show. He has his hands in his pockets, Sydney notes bitterly, and no one shocks him with a stun gun, but he's kind of working the slouchy, hands-in-the-pockets look, the way Sydney never manages to, so maybe that's why. The bidding starts out low, Julie asking for a bid of 50, and Sydney is kind of offended on Geordie's behalf at first, when Flower sees his face and elbows him.
50,000, Sid, you idiot!
Oh, Sydney says, and watches the bids climb to well over that.
I can beat that,
Neela whispers loudly, puffing his chest out. But Sydney has finally stopped paying attention to what Geordie finally gets sold for. Legalized prostitution, Sydney thinks, when Julie calls out,
sold!
And congratulates a pretty young woman who hugs an older man excitedly, probably her father. He's looking out for his plants, spotting the kids sitting at a table with the Lemuse, which makes him cringe. He just hopes they all have the nerve to withstand Mario's inevitable disapproval once they start bidding. The auction drags them through tense moments, like when they all notice Max out in the audience and sort of suck a collective breath in, then let it out slowly when he firmly and unashamedly bids on and wins a date with Flower. Flower laughs and looks like he wants to hug Max and also curse him out, which is a good kind of normal, and enough of a distraction for Sydney that he almost forgets about his inner torment. Gino catches his small smile and nudges him, smiling too. And Sydney just looks at him almost helplessly and thinks about how badly he wants to keep that smile forever. Just for him. He knows. He knows that he's not supposed to want that. That this is definitely a case of too many things tangling up in his head and coming out at the worst time. But he's starting to accept the fact that he can't really help it. He's always been able to control things like this, keep them simple and categorized and strictly regulated. And now it's kind of terrifying that he can't, but also kind of weirdly freeing. Thinking that doesn't solve the problem, though. It really just makes the problem worse. Apparently, Sydney's brain is good at that. They roll on. Brooks sold off to his fiancée for a fairly modest sum. Apparently no one here is ballsy enough to try to outbid significant others. While Tanja is won by what looks like a family with kids, for a decent amount. Sydney is honestly surprised when Neela does beat him in terms of price. But then, he can't help but laugh with the rest of the guys when he sees that the highest bidder is a woman that has to be in her 70s.
Whatever, Neela says, when he passes them backstage, loosening his tie. I'm winning, and that's what matters. Old ladies love me, and they have the best stories. Eat that, Tanja.
No thanks, Tanja says, wrinkling his nose. The guys mostly wander off after their turn is done, meant to pose for pictures with their winners. Some wind up out in the audience eventually, watching and now laughing openly at their teammates as the auction drags and drags. But the heckling actually makes the whole process go considerably faster. Soon it's Sydney's turn. And after Gino insists they do their handshake, he's blinking in the bright, very hot spotlight of the stage, trying and failing to make eye contact with his table of promised supporters, his hands folded in front of him.
Hands!
Julie hisses at him through a brilliant smile,
And Sydney grins at her in a way that he hopes looks murderous, because they're not in his pockets, so no one can say anything. And whatever, the bidding gets going anyway. High enough and really fast, so that Sydney starts to sweat. And then Taylor jumps into the bidding, making a wave of laughter roll through the crowd. 200! She raises her paddle high into the air. Julie's smile stretches across her entire face. Sydney starts feeling nervous. It's going to split in half. She repeats Taylor's bid and her number, 90, and accepts a few more bids before Stephanie stands up next, waving the number 89 in the air, and just as enthusiastic as Taylor. There's more laughter, though if Sydney squints in the light, he can see Mario's eyes starting to narrow in suspicion, frowning over at Sydney. His suspicions must be confirmed when Austin and Alexa join in with their own paddles and the other bidders drop out good-naturedly, leaving Stephanie with a 400,000 bid on Sydney for the win. She raises her arms in triumph, and everyone claps for her, including Sydney, until Julie sinks her nails into his arm to lead him off stage. "You're lucky you're cute," Julie says through gritted white teeth, and she nearly shoves him into the hands of two interns. He tells the interns that he can wait for his photo op with Stephanie, and pushes his way back to his viewing spot to watch Gino's turn. His palms are sweating, and his heart is beating kind of hard, and Sydney knows it has nothing to do with the relief of getting his own turn over with. That was easy. This is infinitely harder. And Sydney should have known that from the very beginning. The bidding is fast and furious, and it is immediately clear that Gino is going to at least go for higher than Sydney, maybe even higher than Neil. Sydney shoves his hands in his pockets now, just to keep from punching the wall, like an idiot, as a beautiful blonde woman coolly calls out a $300,000 bid that is immediately outdone by an equally stunning brunette, who seems much more tenacious. And it's not just two women, it's a lot of women. And Sydney's stomach clenches along with his fists as he watches Gino's smile get a bit strained, rubbing the back of his neck, and then dropping his arm quickly after a look from Julie. Sydney's hand closes around his phone in his pocket, and he looks over at the Lemieux table, where Taylor, Austin, and Alexa are all watching the bidding carefully, and Mario still looks extremely unimpressed. Sydney has his phone out, fingers shakily texting each kid before he really knows what he's doing. Bid on Gino. No limit. He can see when they get the text, and they can't see him, but they perform dutifully, calling out bid with the same enthusiasm as before. The audience doesn't seem to know how to handle it this time, laughing more uncertainly, even though the team is cracking the hell up, and Mario looks like he wants to start banging his head against the table. Or maybe pretend he doesn't know his kids. Julie's smile looks dangerously close to shattering, but Gino is beaming, standing up straighter, and Sydney feels fucking triumphant. He feels less so with women keep bidding, honestly getting into it with the kids. Things go tense again, the laughter fading, Julie looking almost nervous. And then the blonde has the most recent bid, an outrageous 700,000, and all the kids look uncertain, glancing at each other. Sydney texts them over and over, repeating, "No limit, no limit, no limit," and wishing he knew how to send mass texts, but they're not biting, not a peep, and Sydney really thinks he might punch a wall soon, or maybe throw his phone, or... Sydney doesn't think, actually, when he hurries out on stage left and calls, 1 million. The whole audience goes very, very quiet, and Mario drops his head into his hands with a loud groan that cuts through the quiet like a knife. Then everyone starts laughing, starting with Max and Flower with their big, hooting laughs, while Jordy nearly falls out of his chair, and Tanja and Neil are leaning against each other, practically sobbing. Taylor looks like she wants to start clapping for him, like she had for Stephanie. She just laughs too, and gives him a big thumbs up. "I'm sorry, Mr. Crosby, but I can't count your bid," Julie says, voice shaking with laughter and possibly repressed rage. Sydney glares at her, mostly because he can't look at Gino, can feel his face growing hot under Gino's stare. "Why not? You're not a registered bidder, and this is against the rules, as I mentioned before." Someone, Sydney's fairly certain it's Brooks and Erin, boos at her. But Julie holds fast, her smile grim, and daring him to keep arguing with her. But the interns are there, and one of them is the one whose eyes promise him a date with a stun gun very soon. So Sydney sighs and lets himself be led off the stage to the sounds of applause. He's pretty sure Taylor starts it, and he loves his little sister so much, really. He finally meets Gino's eyes then, finds him beaming even brighter than he had, when the kids have started bidding on him, gaze staying locked on Sydney until Sydney's out of sight. And suddenly Sydney knows that even if the beautiful blonde wins the date with Gino, Gino will still come to Sydney's house every other night. They'll still want to shower with him and fail at video games with him and drink pop and eat pizza with the kids and sneak in cuddling when he can. Sydney doesn't know exactly how he knows that, just by how Gino's looking at him now, because he thinks Gino's always been looking at him like that all the time. And Sydney hadn't realized it before, but he knows now. And it's still kind of scary, but it's also really fucking great. Sydney thinks it's time he told Gino that he wants all that too, no matter what that makes them, if it's too complicated or too risky or... Sydney can't think about that when he thinks about how much he wants it. The interns try to wrestle him back to the holding cell, but Sydney manages to make out one last dash for his viewing spot, just in time to see Alexa standing up with her paddle raised high, the number 87 proudly displayed above her bright, firm smile. She calls out an 800,000 bid, and Gino says, "Sold," making everyone laugh. Julie tries to chastise him gently, but he just smiles at her and shrugs, and she sighs, registers the bid, and then proclaims Alexa the official winner to thunderous applause. Gino joins in, clapping until his hands sting, until Gino finds him backstage and grabs his hands in his and squeezes, grinning against Sydney's cheek. 1 million, Gino keeps saying, and his laugh is high and disbelieving, no matter how many times Sydney pokes him viciously to shut him up.
"Crazy, Sid."
"Shut up," Sydney says. "It's not crazy. It's for a good cause, and..." In his head, he's saying, "And you're worth it." But that's the kind of thing he never says to Gino. The culmination of everything he feels for Gino can really be signed up as, "You're worth more than that." And it's still hard to get those words unstuck after months of denying them. But it's the truth. And honestly, it's time Gino knew that. "You're worth it," Sydney says firmly, and Gino's breath kind of catches. He's immediately reaching for Sydney's hand, clenching it tight and close between them, obviously wishing they weren't still in public, waiting for their cars to come around after the auction. They have already withstood Mario's long-suffering amused lecture. "I told you not to be a brat, Sid," and "I didn't mean for you to get my brats involved," and the chirps from the team, and Julie's cheerful promises of retribution. Now it's just them, standing outside the hall where the auction had been, except for it's not just them. If it had been, Sydney would have kissed Gino by now. He always wants to kiss Gino. And now that he's allowing himself to do it almost whenever he wants, he can't wait to get started. "I don't want you to go on a date with anyone else," Sydney continues, when it's clear Gino only needs to touch Sydney, not needing to say anything. Gino's smile goes wry and pleased, and Sydney knows the smile he gives back is big and dopey, and really doesn't care.
"Not Alexa. She win auction."
"For me?" And he rolls his eyes, when Gino just looks like he wants to laugh, but is also really happy about it. "Fine. We'll invite them over for pizza again. That could be the date, but she won it with my money. That means the date is technically mine." "You're mine," Sydney thinks. But he thinks that's something he can say later. Something he will definitely want to say later.
"Always yours," Gino says softly,
completely ruining Sydney's careful construction of control. And Sydney squeezes his hand hard enough to probably hurt. And then lets go before he starts panting or something. "Okay," Sydney chirps, clapping his hands together heartily. "Let's do it then."
"Date."
"Yeah, date." He grins at Gino, and Gino grins back. And when their cars come around, Sydney's pretty okay with the team separating, because now he knows, whatever they are, whatever they're doing, they're going to wind up in the same place, together. The end. Thank you for listening.